now, don't worry. Before I begin the sermon, you may have read on my notice sheet about there's been an announcement last week that I am to be also the vicar of Grenaside in addition to High Green. And so I want to start the sermon this morning by just saying I've had a bit of a problem about this, and I've been pondering it, and I want you to share it with folks because a very important question has arisen, and it's this. Do I call myself the vicar of High Green and Grenaside, or do I call myself the vicar of Grenaside and High Green? I didn't hear what he said, but I don't want to hear what he said. Well, actually, it's a very important question. You see, I've been pondering this because it's taken a lot of my brain cells to get this issue sorted. And I think I've come, I want to try it out on you folks and see what you think. I think I am to be the vicar of High Greenoside. Not very good, is it, really? High Greenoside, no, I don't really think so. Well, it won't go on the door, but I thought, just to make life a bit, I want to keep it ever so humble. So I thought, well, even if I've got this big extra title now, you can just call me Your Wonderfulness. No, you can't. You can call me Your Wonderfulness, if you like. Now, because some people do actually have grand titles, don't they? And I thought, you know, if I'm going to be the vicar of Grenaside and High Green, I need a grand title like that. So, and if you wanted just to work on touching the forelock and bending the knee, you want a bit of practice on that later? Am I getting a response here?
No.
No,
this is High Green.
This is High Green, that's right. I think I'm a losing wicket now, but you see, I thought I was probably worthy of it. You know, I'll tell you a story. This is true. About 8 years ago, about Evie. Are you joining in, Evie? Well, you are allowed to. It's your day. It's okay, love. You can do it. Okay. This is true. About 8 years ago, I got invited to an audience with the Pope. Come on. I must be terribly important to have an audience with the Pope. Yes? Well, I thought this is High Green, yes, okay. Well, I'll tell you, this is a true story, what happened. I was with a couple of friends. I was linked to Blackburn Cathedral at that time, and we were invited to an audience with the Pope. So I thought we would be going down to St. Peter's, to the Vatican rooms, and we'd be taken in, and we would sit down and have a cup of tea. Oh, that's far too English. I don't know, what would it be? Maybe a bit of vermouth, something like that. Anyway, a nice Italian wine, and we'll sit down there and have a nice little chat to His Holiness. Well, actually, it wasn't quite like that, because I discovered that I wasn't the only one that day who had an audience with the Pope. In fact, there were about 3,000 people had an And in fact, anyone here been to Rome on holiday, perhaps? Yeah? Anyone been around St. Peter's, Rome? If you're looking at St. Peter's like that, on the left-hand side, a bit further back, there's like a big concert hall. It's about the same size as, you know, the one in the centre of town. And we got in there, my friends and I, and we discovered there were all these people who were also having an audience with the Pope. And so it began, and we were there about half an hour early, and eventually His Holiness arrives, and the crowd goes, wow, man, everyone's waving their hands and shouting and screaming for the Pope. Everyone's terribly excited. And he sits down, and one of the cardinals comes up the front. And the first time around, I think it was in English, he welcomed everybody. And he then, the Pope read out a statement, which eventually he read in Spanish, French, Italian, German, and I think also, God, what the other ones we did? It had about 6, 7. It went on for about 3 hours, this audience with the Pope. Anyway, and it goes through. And then the cardinal will say, we welcome today, perhaps say it was from America, this section. In the English section, he would say, we welcome from Our Lady of whatever it would be in Los Angeles. And a whole bunch of teenagers from this school in Los Angeles would get up, and they would sing an anthem. And then there would be, we welcome the school of whatever it is, saints, what's names from Johannesburg. And they would get up, and I hadn't noticed they got all their instruments. There's a brass band, and they start playing some music. Anyway, this goes on for hour after hour after hour. My friends and I are thinking, well, what are we going to be called? What are we supposed to do? Anyway, eventually, one of these cardinals just says, And here are three parliamentarians from England. And that was us. Anyway, at the end of it, we were looking forward to shaking hands and having our photograph taken with the Pope. So we were, if you like, if the building was like this and the Pope was there, we were seated just over there. And the Pope, at the end of it, he comes down, and I knew he wanted to come over and see us. And just at that moment, he got redirected in the opposite direction. And we never met the Pope. Aww. And I believe to this day, he is terribly disappointed. But, and I will just say this, I was dressed, you know, very formally in the black suit and everything, terribly formal. And as I walked out, do you know the Swiss guards who protect the Pope? You might have seen them on television. One of them saluted me. Well, I think that will go on my CV, and I'll mention that when I get to the pearly gates, okay? I think the moral of the story is, I'm not really that important, am I? Somehow, when it comes to, you know, all this stuff, at the end of the day, I don't think I'm going to really count for very much. And, you know, that's pretty much true to the story we had from Scripture we had read this morning. Because some people think some people are terribly, terribly important. And we had a story there about Jesus. 2,000 years ago in Israel, Jesus of Nazareth was a big name. He started, I think we all know the story about Christmas. He grows up and he starts a preaching ministry in Israel. And people begin to hear him talking about God's kingdom, God's reign, when things are going to be different. But he just didn't talk. He did more than that. He actually put his words into action. He healed people. He enabled people to have fresh starts in life. He found ways of removing evil from people's lives. Many people's lives were deeply struck and changed by him. And people said he didn't just preach like the other vicars of the time did. When he spoke, people actually listened, and he created an electric atmosphere. And people said, he's not like the others. He's different. He's authentic. He's the real thing. Could he be the Messiah, which God had promised one day to bring us and change the world? And there was this incredible sense of this person was so special. And so loads of people wanted to go and see Jesus. So we have one of these stories. Jesus was walking down, don't know where it was. He was around about somewhere in Israel. And of course, he was so well known. Had there been OK Magazine, he'd have been on the front page. All the gossip mags would have had him. And so people turn up. And one day, according to the story, some children came along to see Jesus. And the disciples of Jesus, that's his sidekicks, you know, his followers, the children wanted to come and see Jesus. And they said, whoa, hang on a minute, sorry, this Jesus, he's far too busy. Children don't really count. They're not important enough. And they stopped the children coming. And you know what happened? Jesus says, halt, stop there. He says, don't you get it? And he turns to the children and says, don't keep these away. These are the most important ones of all. And it says in the story how he took the children and he blessed them. Now, you try to remember this. In the ancient world, unless you were royalty, and if you were a child in royalty, you were very important. But most children had no significance whatsoever. Because, to be honest, at least half the children would die between birth and coming of age. Most parents didn't really engage too much with them. You kept them going. You fed them sufficient. And you hoped they got to a point where they could start earning some money for you. But children were to be seen, but to be seen but not heard. Children were of no importance whatsoever. In the way in the ancient world, the ancient Roman Empire, children were bottom of the pile. They were dirty things. You don't really care for them much. You just keep them alive and see how many survive. And Jesus is saying, no, let them come through. They're the most important ones of all. And that radical sense in which Jesus was saying, in my Father's kingdom, when the world is put to rights and things are sorted out, children will not be at the edge. They won't be the unimportant ones. They're going to be smack in the middle, the most important people of all. And he lived that out. In fact, later on, he actually said, when his disciples were bickering amongst themselves, who was the most important, who was, if you like, your wonderfulness, He turned to them and said, unless you become like a child, you haven't got a clue what's going on. You haven't even seen what God's doing. And he said this many times. And he made the point that the most important person was like a child, because a child loves and accepts, doesn't always ask difficult questions, but actually knows how that child is loved and wants to love back. And so easily, as we get old and we become complicated, and let's say sometimes we become a bit bitter, we sometimes let our relationships all go wrong. But a child will trust. And Jesus said a child like that is the most important. Some years ago, I was a vicar in Blackburn, and the cathedral were having a special exhibition, and they wrote to all the vicars saying, can we have one of the treasures to put into the cathedral for a week on show? And what they meant was, if we were an ancient church, we might have some Georgian silver, or a bit of sculpture, or something like that, something worth a few bob, if you like, in the church, we could give to them. And my church was, we were in a hut, basically. It was a glorified hut. We had no money. We were broke. Most of the people in the area came from a very tough place. And there was one person I particularly liked, and that was Big Dave. Big Dave was about 6 foot, built like this. He had a finger with personal hygiene. Wasn't too wonderful. He smoked like a chimney. He was a big, big guy, big health problems. And yet he was the person who actually cooked our weekly meal for poor families. And he knew everybody on the estate. And he was one of those wonderful networkers who actually made the whole community happen. Sadly, he died a few years ago, went to glory. But I felt like writing back to the cathedral and said, if you like, you can have Big Dave, you could put him in a showcase and let everyone have a look at him on a Sunday. Well, I didn't quite have the nerve to do that. But if the cathedral in Sheffield wrote to me today and said, have you got a treasure we can take down the cathedral on display? Do you know what I would send them? I would send Evie. Because today, in this place, the most important person is Evie. Actually, all the children here are equally important. And that's the point about a Thanksgiving service. Children are a wonderful gift. They're not there just simply to be, pushed to one side and sort of almost treated like rubbish until they're old enough to be useful. Children are treasures. And Jesus said in his kingdom, they're going to be central. They're going to be so important. And that's why today it's great having Evie here with the family. We welcome you to this Thanksgiving service. And we hope and pray that Evie, she undoubtedly is a treasure, but for her parents, for her family, for everyone here today, in the years ahead, we'll see more and more and give thanks to God for her. Amen.